The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Usually, when a priest participates in a sacrament, he is the celebrant, which means he is the secondary minister of the sacrament. Why secondary? Because Jesus is doing the heavy lifting. In baptism, it is Jesus who washes away the sins through the priest, even though the priest or the deacon is the celebrant of the sacrament. That is also true with the Holy Sacrament of the Mass. Who is it that changes the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ? Jesus does, through the priest, even though the priest is the celebrant of the Mass. And the same is true of confession. But one of the sacraments is different, the sacrament of matrimony. In the sacrament of matrimony, the celebrants are not the priest. I just gave you a clue as to who is. The couple. It is the couple whom Jesus works through to confect the sacrament of matrimony. The priest or the deacon is the witness, along with the best man and the maid of honor, where they're to say, "Hey, remember, you were married," and things like that. So the official witness of the church. Now, when I witness a marriage, I let the couple pick the first and second reading along with the psalm. I pick the gospel, and it is always the wedding at Cana, because that is where the sacrament of matrimony was instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and has a lot of things that the couple needs to hear. But over 30 some odd years, I could have made a lot of money betting on what the second reading would be. That it would be, more often than not, the second reading from today's Mass, from Corinthians. It's a beautiful reading. And it talks about what? Love. It sounds great, doesn't it? Even though whenever I hear it, I am given flashbacks to the movie The Princess Bride. And Peter Cook, in his great role as the impressive clergyman, who talks about love, sweet love. That usually makes it into the homily too. And marriage, that dream within a dream. Now, when the couple picks that reading, oftentimes they are not quite clear on what it really means. Because in our society, love is greatly misunderstood. Think about all the different things we use love for. We say, "I love pizza." What that? Pizza is great, but that's not the kind of love we're talking about. They talk about a love that you fall into or out of. Warm fuzzies. Usually the couple is at the warm fuzzy stage. It takes a while for them, being married together and having to look at each other every day, to realize what true love is. What does Saint Paul talking about? He was talking about the greatest of spiritual gifts that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. That is not a warm fuzzy. That is not something that you fall into or out of, because love never fails. Then what is it? Well, the best way to come to understand something in sacred scripture is to look other places in sacred scripture. In the gospel according to St. John, we are told, "Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for that of his friends." So that is the greatest example of love, our Lord upon the cross. Love is not a feeling. It's more than a feeling. Don't worry, I'm not going to be singing any Journey. It is an act of the will. It is something that we decide to do. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for that of his friends. Jesus is the perfect example, but he is not the only example. We also have the martyrs, like St. Paul himself, who for love of our Lord and for love of the churches which he founded, laid down his life rather than deny Christ. We see Jeremiah, who was called by God to take a very uncomfortable message to the children of Israel. And as a consequence, was resisted, and they tried to kill him several times. But the Lord made of him a tower of iron and a wall of brass, a fortified city. Love often entails suffering for that which you love. So don't be surprised if you suffer for the gospel. Want an example? Preach the truth about the sanctity of innocent human life. You will be resisted, sometimes even from within the church. Another example, preach the truth about human sexuality. I can tell you from personal experience, you will be pilloried, perhaps even in the paper. Speak anything which is contrary to the winds of the world, and you will be resisted. But remember where the truth and the gospel come from. They come from God himself, and we love him above all things. Notice that even our Lord is resisted. He preaches to his hometown crew and tells them the uncomfortable fact that God's love is not limited to the children of Israel. And they are filled with fury, and they want to take him to the top of a hill and throw him off of it. Why did Jesus say that to them? Because he loved them. One of the great signs that the church is doing the right thing is that she is persecuted. I have a friend who is a permanent deacon, and he, like myself, is a convert. And he went to a conference and he met another convert, and they were telling conversion stories. And he asked why this fellow decided to be Catholic. And the fellow said, "I looked around and I looked for the church that was being persecuted. And it was the Catholic Church, so I figured that had to be the one founded by Jesus." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.